Our scripture for today is Acts chapter 1, 1 through 11, and this is from the New Revised Standard. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to his apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for him for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up. A cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing up towards heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about graduation. And during this time of year, it's natural to kind of put graduation together with school. And graduation, what it means is growing larger by degrees. And so, again, it would be natural for us to assume that by graduation, maybe the education that we have, maybe the amount of degrees or diplomas that we have hanging on our walls. But really, life is about all sorts of graduation moments. It's about moments where all of a sudden life gets bigger and we get bigger along with it. Now, in my house, we've experienced a couple graduation moments that are a little bit different than what we would usually think about, but they are powerful moments, especially powerful in the life of a child. My two favorite graduation moments that we've got to share in our house. And if you have a kid, or if you know a kid, you might have experienced this graduation moment as well. When they turn 6 years old. Does anybody know why six is a big graduating moment? Because when you're 5 years old, and now you're going to 6 years old, you're on two hands now. You have moved to the two-hand age. You are grown. You know everything that you need to know at this point. The two-hand age. The second moment is when they lose their first tooth. Because there's this moment as they're holding that tooth in their hand and they're looking at that gapped smile in the mirror that they realize they have arrived. They have faced the first bloody gauntlet of life, and they have been found worthy. And they're accepted into adulthood from this moment forward, right? But if you've talked to a kid, those are powerful moments. And they're ones that maybe we could just gloss over and kind of move past. But in reality, all of us have moments in life where suddenly life got a little bit bigger and we had to get bigger right along with it. Now, for some of us, we've kind of started moving in the opposite direction. See, kids, they're looking for these moments to grow up. They can't wait till they're grown, till they're independent, till they're in charge, and they can make all the decisions, right? But as the adults in the room, you get to the point, you start worrying about having to count your age on your fingers, don't you? And if you have a tooth that gets loose and falls out, you're not nearly as excited about it, right? As much as kids are ready to graduate, they're ready for these moments that show that they're grown, that they can make decisions, that they're in charge. Man, the older that you get, how many of y'all want to go back to when you were a kid? When you didn't have these responsibilities, you didn't have these worries, and you always had somebody there that was watching out for you. You see, life can get bigger than us in certain moments, and that can be scary. And we can want to stay right where we are and hope that life doesn't change from this point forward. In our scripture reading this morning, we come to a very unique moment in the life of the church. We come to the ascension of Jesus back to heaven. And it's a moment that kind of strikes us because in some ways it struck the disciples in a really difficult way as well. That as the disciples were in this moment, spending these last words, these last moments with Jesus, they had a very different idea about what it meant for Jesus to restore the kingdom of God to Israel. And as Jesus kind of gathered all the disciples, you have to understand what they've been going through and kind of what we've been walking through over the last month and several weeks is as they experienced the crucifixion, the execution of Jesus, as they experienced the rumors and the sight of stumbling upon this empty tomb and what that might mean and where Jesus was, to suddenly seeing the resurrected Jesus, seeing Jesus appear in Jerusalem, in the upper rooms, in the far reaches of the countryside that they went back to Galilee, all these different spaces that Jesus kept returning to, Jesus is gathering all the disciples from everywhere that they've scattered. And they finally all come on top of the Mount of Olives, this ridge where they can look over all of Jerusalem. And the disciples asked Jesus in that moment, is this when? Is this it? Is this the time that you're finally going to restore the kingdom of God to Israel? They still have ideas. They still have hopes. They still have these dreams of what the Messiah is supposed to do. And man, they are ready for him to do it. But Jesus says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the time or the places that God has set aside by his own authority. But rather, you will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses here in Jerusalem. You'll be my witnesses even further than that in Judea and Samaria. And in fact, to the ends of the earth. As if in that moment that Jesus says, don't worry about the not yet, because the not yet doesn't matter. I need you to be in the right now. And if we keep worrying about what God is going to do in the not yet, then we're missing what God is calling us to do in the right now. And in the moment, beyond everything that they wanted, even though they weren't ready, Jesus graduated them into being disciples. And almost in that moment, he says, congratulations, you're graduated. You've learned everything that you've needed to learn. I've told you everything that you needed to hear. You're in charge now. And he ascends and he lifts up. And he creates that distance that always worries us and always scares us of not knowing where we can find God or how far God is away. And they watch Jesus disappear into the clouds. You imagine that weight. You imagine that confusion. You imagine that fear. You imagine that awesome wonder of how long it's going to take Jesus to come down from how high he's gone. Or maybe the lesson in this moment of what is this all supposed to mean? And as the disciples are still staring up at those clouds, two angels appear and ask the question that angels have always been asking. What in the world are you doing when Jesus has already given you something to do? You see, sometimes life gets bigger than us so very quickly. We feel unprepared. We feel inadequate. We worry. We stress. We wonder how in the world we'll meet the demands, how in the world we'll meet the deadlines, or how in the world we'll just simply make it through today or this week. And we cry out and we ask for God to do it for us. Will this finally be the day that you answer all of my prayers? Will this finally be the day that you turn this relationship around? Will this finally be the day that you make a way for a new job, for a new opportunity? As much as it feels like we're waiting for God to answer, and we feel that distance that the disciples might have felt as Jesus disappeared beyond those clouds, the real truth of the matter is that Jesus told them that he was going to be with them in a way that he had never been before. But rather to wait for the very power and the very life and the very Spirit of God to come down inside of them. Because for every imperfection, for every impatience, for every worry and every stressful moment, God will be right there in the middle of it as well, whether we can see him behind the clouds or not. And the very life of God will be living inside of us. And so why did Jesus leave us? Why did Jesus float away? I believe that the good news of that is he knew that we could do it. Is he knew the work that remained ahead. And as difficult as it was, as scary as it was, how inadequate we were, how unprepared we were, how ready we were for him to do the work instead of us, Jesus saw past all the worry, he saw past all the doubt, he saw past all the guilt and all the shame, and he saw someone who was strong. And he saw people who had purpose and had an opportunity to live so deeply in a way that they had never felt before. And you have to understand, the first time that Jesus left, man, it fell apart. Jesus had told them everything that was going to happen before he was arrested and he was crucified. But when they couldn't see Jesus anymore, these very same disciples up on the mountain, man, they fell apart. They went into hiding, they went fishing, they scattered, they doubted each other, they fought with each other. They couldn't even believe each other when they started telling stories that Jesus might actually have come back. But it's not always going to be like that. And the same obstacles and the same stumbles and the same situations that took us down yesterday don't have to define what we're going to do tomorrow in our faith. Because there is a very Spirit of God who sees beyond all the fears that we have and lives inside of us. And so we are tasked and called and commissioned to go and do the very work in this world that we've been waiting for. To go and to tell the story of God, to witness of everything that God has done in our lives and everything that God can do in this world. And God is not waiting for us to be perfect, because a perfect testimony is not the testimony that the world needs to hear. God is not waiting for us to be unafraid, because a testimony of somebody who has no fear is not a testimony that the world needs to hear. But rather, he is taking you exactly where you are, and all your hurts, all your habits, all your hang-ups, all the moments that you feel like you're not ready. And he's sending us out into the world to tell his story and to show his grace and his mercy. And we live in an era where we cannot see Jesus. We can see fingerprints, we can see marks, we can see hints and rumors of ways that God has appeared and has showed up. And we hear of miracles in which God works. But do not ever doubt that God plans to use each and every one of you as a sign, as a hope, as a miracle, and as a witness to do the very work of the building of the kingdom of God right where you are. And we do it together. Jesus brought all the people together. He brought all the disciples on top of that hill. And he left them so that as they turned to go back home, they would see the work spread out in the valley before them of all that remained to be done as they went and they did it together.